The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
So, Rolene, for the past hour and a half, I have been saying that you, in your words, have said that today is a huge, with a Y, news day.
It is a huge news day. In fact, I will even say it's a whopper of a news day, starting off with the possibility that Prime Minister Netanyahu will be indicted on corruption charges. The indictment hasn't come through as yet, but what we do know is that the Likud party have launched a petition to, or launched earlier today, a petition to the High Court accusing the Attorney General of a political hit against the Likud leader. The High Court has thrown out their petition in the last hour and will proceed as they see fit. So this may have like quite a significant impact on the upcoming elections, and you can be sure that the Likud are not going to want to hurt any chances they may have of winning. I think it's pretty much the agreed upon bet that without Netanyahu at the helm of the Likud, this could seriously impair the chances of the party from winning the election. And a few minutes ago, opposition party Meretz saying that it will call an urgent Knesset plenum discussion, despite the Knesset currently being on hiatus, to deal with or to discuss the expected announcement of corruption charges against Prime Minister Netanyahu. In fact, party leader Tamar Zandberg says a prime minister cannot serve with an indictment against him, and Meretz will hold a special discussion and commits to presenting a bill at the beginning of the next Knesset session, forcing a prime minister to take a leave of absence if formally charged. And President Donald Trump also weighing in on the debacle today, saying that Netanyahu is strong and that he is clever and that he will be okay. And the Likud has said that it is unfortunate that the High Court didn't prevent the left from blatantly intervening in the elections. They say that this is the intervention of the left. But unfortunately for most of us watching the proceedings and also watching the elections, that whenever something seems to happen, the Likud immediately say it's the leftists. And guys, I think we are far more intelligent than to just use the knee-jerk blame the leftists argument. Am I right?
No, 100%.
What do you think?
There's no debate here. Is it, if you're a betting person, Rolene, I mean, is it a foregone conclusion that Mandelbrot is going to bring charges?
I think that we are probably about 90% the way of Mandelbrot bringing charges.
Okay, let's move off to the next big topic of the day, because we've also had people weighing in. Talk to us about the United Nations Human Rights Council and what they did or didn't do today.
Okay, well, it comes very coincidentally after Hamas fired yet another incendiary device from Gaza into Israel. This was balloons with a Molotov cocktail attached, which actually caused damage to a house in southern Israel this morning. And the IDF responded by attacking Hamas outposts in the Gaza Strip. Now, just hours ago, the United Nations Human Rights Commission, which has been called by the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, assessed of bias against Israel. They released their report accusing Israel of, amongst many things, war crimes and deliberately targeting children, the disabled, and journalists with regards to these riots along the border with Gaza, which we've been experiencing for now nearly a year. In fact, they started March last year. It is now almost March. Tomorrow will be March, so it marks nearly a year since we've had these riots. Now, at the outset, you know, when the Human Rights Council or any UN body announced that they will embark on a fact-finding mission, Israel does not respond or participate, because from our viewpoint, we already see their verdict as a foregone conclusion, and that nothing that we say or do will change otherwise. In fact, they've dismissed testimony that has been presented to the UNHRC, where you have the leaders of Hamas in their own words saying they want to break through the border fence, come into Israel and rip the hearts out from the Jews in the community there, and also take back the land. And also, we've heard a lot of excuses from Hamas over the last year. You know, at the beginning, it was the great march of return to reclaim lands, and then it came out in the wash that this was actually a diversionary tactic to take away focus from the internecine fighting between Fatah, which is part of the Palestinian Authority, and Hamas. You know, also some states saying, yes, this is in response to the U.S. moving their embassy. Nothing could be more further from the truth. The embassy move wasn't really a factor, but more of an excuse just for an uptick in violence in May. Also negated by the UN is the fact that operatives along the border fence used civilians, and in this case children and the disabled, as human shields, also dressed up as members of the press and members of the medical personnel, as well as placing animals draped in Israeli flags in the line of fire. Now, Israel does have a right to respond and protect its citizens, and I've been down to the border with Gaza during these Friday protests, and you can be sure that the IDF keep the media very, very far away from the conflict zone, because it is a conflict zone. We can't forget this fact. We can't forget that bringing children, women, the elderly and disabled to a conflict zone is a flagrant abuse of their human rights, a fact that has been negated by the United Nations.
Talk to us just a little bit about, I don't know if you even have the detail, but tell us more about the makeup of this Human Rights Council.
Okay, so I don't have the exact makeup of this Human Rights Council. We've just been told it's members of the Human Rights Council fact-finding mission. But what I can tell you is that organizations like NGO Monitor and the IDF themselves have released their reports on the situation on the border with Gaza. And NGO Monitor saying that these fact-finding missions don't take all testimony. They rely almost exclusively on testimony from Hamas, from NGOs that have ties to terror organizations, and others who stand to gain from adding to Hamas's narrative. Now, Israel sometimes faces the criticism, you know, we don't get to get to have our side of the story put forward because we don't participate. And that's a fair argument. You know, why don't we participate? But from the Israeli side, from our perspective, it doesn't matter whether or not we do participate or give testimony. The verdict is a foregone conclusion. And this Human Rights Council report has been roundly rejected by the IDF, by Naftali Bennett, our education minister, now the leader of the Hayemeni HaChadash. Prime Minister Netanyahu called it hypocrisy of the UN Human Rights Council. And our new foreign minister, Israel Katz, has said that he rejects this absurd UN report.
Okay. Raline, more and more details appear to be leaking about the proposed Trump peace plan. Does the plan include investment into Gaza and the West Bank?
Well, I want to know if this is like, this plan is like the gestation of an elephant, because we don't seem to be getting, you know, a full reveal. We get little bits, drips and drabs appearing here and there. But, and we know that President Trump at the moment is a little bit distracted in Korea, in North Korea. But what we do know, what we have heard is that this plan, and we don't know what territorial impact this has or any concessions, but we do know that, there is a possibility of about a $25 billion investment into the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. And a rumor has it that there could be another $40 billion investment earmarked for Egypt, for Jordan, and the possibility of Lebanon. So I'm like looking at this and I'm thinking perhaps the Trump administration wants to, you know, uplift these surrounding territories that maybe it won't involve territorial concessions. Maybe it is to improve and uplift the situation on the ground for civilians, for business as it stands. Very recently, there has been a Chamber of Commerce inaugurated in the West Bank. You know, is this all within the Trump administration peace plan? But who knows? Because it doesn't seem to ever be becoming revealed.
Yeah. Raleen, that's where we leave it. Shabbat shalom and chat to you on Monday.